It is the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. My name is Reginald Atatula, filling in for Kevin and Corey. Mike Bassick still here with you, though, and we are broadcasting live from the Dallas Card Show in Allen, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard in Allen. We're having a blast early on. I mean, we're seeing people set. I mean, there's some folks set up, some folks still walking
in. Yeah, people are getting set up. About noonish is when it'll start looking a lot more full. I want to get right into the segment, Reggie. I want to ask you this question.
Let's
about
do it.
The Dallas Mavericks. How much do you go to the websites that say, these five guys have a plus minus of this, these five guys have... So, because we're about to get into the topic of how we see the Mavericks with the depth that they have in their rotation. I was just wondering, you know, sometimes people call this the death lineup or because of the... the numbers that these five guys put up in the limited amount of minutes they play together as a five-man on the court?
That's a good question. I don't know that I frequently go and look at, like, the plus-minuses of lineups,
either.
But I know where to go if I need to find them. So if you want me to search something up, I can be your impromptu research team here.
I know this isn't right. Maybe this is very Randy Galloway-ish of me, where I just go, I'm watching the game. I know who looks good as a these five guys on the court.
And the eye test.
I know who struggles, or it feels like they struggle. When these five guys are on the court, or when this guy's playing with Luka, I know that he is not playing his best basketball. So I get more of a feel there, but there are obviously some stats that can back up that these five guys really work well on a court together, and this group of guys don't work well on a court together.
Yeah, and on the more philosophical level, I think that's largely the way that I'll come at with all the sports, really, is I want to be able to see it, I want to be able to justify it, and then we'll use stats to either confirm or maybe even, like, you know, find a little bit of a dissonance there with your thought and then expand into it further. But I think you definitely start with, you know, knowing the game and what you see. And with you knowing the game, let's talk about these Mavericks, because we were having a conversation last night and I was very intrigued by this. And you asked, or you said that you have some intrigue into, like, the non-Luka or non-Kyrie minutes. When one of those guys is out there, because it feels like we know what the starting lineup will largely be, right?
Yeah, go ahead and say it, just so, if people don't know.
Luka Doncic will be your point guard. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving will be your other guard, right? We know that one of your centers will be on the floor, Gafford or Lively. I think, let's for these purposes and for our excitement, let's say Lively. P.J. Washington will be a starter. And I think Klay Thompson starts. I think that, especially coming off of his time with the Warriors, with the wanting to feel respected, I think that you start him at the very beginning and then you'll work from there. Does that feel fair?
I believe that will be the starting lineup, yes.
Okay, so you largely know what that is, but when Kyrie is not on the floor or when Luke is not on the floor, what do those possibly look like? And I want you to explain, like, why did this question come to mind for you?
Well, I just think of, Let's go to a little bit of a negative of getting Klay Thompson.
Okay.
Is everybody is talking about, and rightfully so, whether it's Tim McMahon, whether it's people on ESPN, hey, the Mavericks might have sacrificed some defense for offense. So when you look at Luka and Kyrie, we know that teams, especially playoffs, liked trying to attack those guys one-on-one, especially in the Boston Celtics were the most, advantageous, took advantage of it. They were the best at it out of the four series that the Mavericks played.
Right.
But people have said, hey, Klay Thompson isn't the same Klay Thompson. Totally get it. Totally agree. If he's, let's just say, average at best at defense and a little more slow-footed than we'd like to believe.
Sure.
Then you have three guys that are average to below average on the court starting the game on defense, and then PJ Washington and whichever center above average. And so you could sacrifice some defense those first 5 minutes in the game because your defensive players or more defensive-minded players are on the bench starting the game.
Yeah.
So then it makes, all right, after the first 4 or 5 minutes, the Mavericks are going to start bringing in guys. And the first 4 or 5 minutes, the first guy to go off the court we know is Kyrie Irving. Like, he plays about the first 5 minutes in regular season basketball and then goes off the court for the next approximately 5 minutes, and then he subs in for Luka. So in those 5 minutes, who do you think, Reggie, would fit really well with offensive and defensive opportunities for Luka Doncic?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting because, I mean, when you're building these things out, it feels like when you have – let's start with Luka, right?
Yeah.
With Luke, it feels like he works best when you have two of those kind of strong wing guys, those dirty work wings. And so as of right now, with the starting lineup that we kind of set up, it feels like your sixth man in that moment, I mean, I guess just next man up, Najee Marshall.
Okay.
I feel like he absolutely has to get involved here. He's a guy that you brought in for a level of shooting, right? And that's another thing that you absolutely have to consider. I know that defense is the thing that you're thinking about, but putting that shooting around Luke, it matters. But I think also, like, having that strength defensively matters as well. And, I mean, he's probably your next best guy outside of, like, the center pairing, right? I guess maybe seventh man is how we look at this. I think that he matters. But then the question that I think ultimately you're trying to get to, I do wonder, like, which guard do you pair? Because I think that also matters a good amount. When you're taking one of these guards out, which one do you pair with them? And with Luka, do you want Jaden Hardy in there? Jaden Hardy is starting to play a lot like Kyrie. However, I feel like Jaden Hardy plays better when he plays with Kyrie at times.
I'm with you.
And so is it Hardy? Is there another guard that you go to, maybe like Quentin Grimes, who he supposedly has some defensive acumen to him, but he's not necessarily a ball handler. So you're putting this all back on Luka in those moments, right? I think that's one of the big questions is which guard are you bringing in that moment, particularly for Kyrie?
I like your question. And in my perfect world, and he's only 21, in fact, happy birthday, he turned 22 today. Jaden Hardy turns 22 today. So happy birthday if he's in the Metroplex. He might not be, but I think that Jaden Hardy needs to become a better player with Luka because I know that Hardy likes playing at a much faster pace than Luka does, and that's why I think he plays better with Kyrie.
Yeah.
The problem is Kyrie 6'2", Hardy 6'3". They're both slender guys. So now if you have a guy who's a little bit of a bullier with the basketball, then you're like, well, which one do we put on the bully guy? Because neither one of them have the size to really play with them. But Luka and Hardy together, it's like, hey, it's okay. We got a 6'7", 245-pound guy, hopefully only 245, in Luka out there. And then you have Hardy, who's 6'3". I can live with 6'7" and 6'3" on the court, but 6'2" and 6'3" on the court can make it at times difficult, even though offensively it seems better. Defensively, it's not great. And I do think Jason Kidd and the coaching staff, they want to continue the defensive excellence that they showed at the end of the season and then for most of the playoffs. I don't like that Gilbert Arenas is taking a shot that, and I get where he's coming from, he's just watching basketball casually, as in, like, he's watching it, but not from, like, hey, dude, if you really watch the last part of the season and a lot of the playoffs, the Mavericks were a good defensive team. I don't want to say the best, but they were really good. But he's looking at what the Boston Celtics did to Luka and did to Kyrie, and then it's like, yeah, they're trash. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. Don't tell me they were number one. He's like, you can make any numbers dance to make anybody number one in the NBA. And I'm like, I get where you're coming from, Gilbert, but it's not that simple. So I do look at Jaden Hardy as being more of a good combination with Luka when Kyrie's off the court because of their size. Jaden Hardy is a great catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, in my opinion, at 21 years old, and that can keep improving. He is a guy who can get hot off of the bench and give you 15 to 20 points. He's not as consistent as you like, but his minutes aren't really that consistent to be consistent off the bench.
Right.
So I'm hoping he gets consistently 20 minutes a night off of the bench to give us an idea on how consistent he can be as kind of an offensive player off of the bench. And I do think he wants to play good defense. And that's part of being a defensive player, is wanting to. Because I think with the depth of the Mavs, I think he knows if he does not give effort on defense, he does not have a contract or a situation where he needs to play. You can just sit him on the bench and say, you can watch 48 minutes if you're not going to give me your best effort on defense.
Yeah, he absolutely wants to be on. And I think you need him to be on the floor. Like, one of the things that this team has looked for is another ball handler. He seems to have some of that, and I was impressed during the playoff run seeing him find his teammates in a way that it felt like he didn't very well. I mean, this time last year, when you're headed to Summer League, they're putting him in and they're like, hey, can we make him a true point guard that runs the offense? And it felt like for Summer League, the answer was more no than anything else. So seeing him develop that, I think, makes him more viable, because you still need another guy to help move the ball. And I think that's one of the things that you talk about when one of those guys, Luka or Kyrie, is off the ball, or off the court, rather. That brings me to, Does Dante Exum factor in here for you? Because I think Dante Exum, one of the things that you came to this with was maybe the less defense, and you need somebody on the perimeter that you feel comfortable with, especially in those moments where you're going to the bench. Does Dante Exum feel like that for you in some ways?
Yes, in a way, but I'm going to ask you this, because nothing's perfect in an NBA basketball game. You'll have foul trouble, you'll have people out with injuries or rest time where guys just have to have the night off. When Kyrie comes off the court, you name the starting five, when Kyrie comes off the court, I'm in agreement with you with Najee Marshall being one of the first guys off the bench. We do know it seems like they want to, after 4 or 5 minutes of the center playing, almost keep them so fresh that, hey, I want you to give me 4 or 5 minutes of great energy, and I'm going to keep switching you guys as long as you guys aren't in foul trouble to keep you guys' energy super high. So we know in the first 4 or 5 minutes they're going to switch the center, that the center is going to come out.
Yeah.
And then we know with about 5 minutes – into the game in regular season, they're going to take Kyrie Irving out of the game because they want him to, when they take Luka out with, let's say, 2 to 3 minutes left in the first quarter, to then lead the pack at the end of the first quarter in regular season basketball. I'm with you with Najee being one of the first guys in, being one of the first guys in, and then I would say Hardy.
Before we move on from that, I do find this interesting because it feels like that four spot, I think we think of PJ Washington, we're like, he's there. He can't play all of the minutes.
Right.
And I don't think we've talked a lot necessarily about, like, who is he, his, I guess, you know, backup, for lack of a better term. I know basketball isn't quite one-to-one like that. But who takes those kind of 4 minutes when he's off the floor? Like, is Najee Marshall there? Because I know he has the long wingspan. He has the strength there. Or do you feel comfortable with Maxi Kleba still playing in those big lineups with some time there? Because, I mean, you do need somebody to do that. And then I think the additional question that might filter in is if Najee Marshall's playing down at the four, are you playing three guard lineups in those moments where maybe you're even a little bit smaller with someone like Quentin Grimes or Klay Thompson if he's still on playing the three?
Yeah, I think these are fun and great questions. God, this segment went so fast
because really
we didn't even get to Kyrie. I'm comfortable with Kleba. He's going to be hurt. He's going to miss 20 to 40 games. He just does every year. His body cannot handle an NBA season. But he is going to be a guy there. I think Najee at times. The thing that we didn't even get to is, you know, is Omax Prosper in his second year, is he going to see some of those minutes? That's what they drafted him for. They traded to get that pick to be like, we think Omax Prosper is the type of player who can succeed as kind of one of those big wings, kind of playing that four spot at times maybe playing the three spot. You know, we didn't even get to Klay Thompson, and does he come out? Does he come out with Kyrie? Let me ask you that question. Do you think after 5 minutes into a game, Klay starting, do you take Klay off the court with Kyrie and bring him back in, like, for the final 2 to 3 minutes, or do you leave him out with Luka for the first 9 to 10 minutes and then take him out and have him sit the end of the first and the beginning of the second?
That's such an interesting question. I'd be interested in seeing what was more of that rotation like in Golden State. I think they're going to do a lot of trying to appease him, not necessarily because he's, you know, difficult, but because you want to make the transition feel as comfortable as possible. But one thing I know is no matter where it starts, it'll move around a bit. One thing about Jason Kidd, he loves trying things out during the course of the regular season. So all of this, I think we'll get answers to it once we get it a couple of months into the season, I think, for sure.
Another topic, another day, is, man, nobody has really put out there Klay Thompson's motivation. As in, like, we've seen players do this and be so ticked that their motivation takes them back to a level that we thought wasn't there. Everybody's talking about how he's regressed, and I agree with that. Nobody's talked about, man, I think he has so much to prove. His energy level and what he's going to bring to the table could be like, whoa, how did Klay Thompson take a little bit of step back in time, possibly?